Hello and welcome to this emergency episode of Up the Poshcast. We weren't going to record tonight, but we felt like we had to after the news at Peterborough United. Today we've had Emmanuel Fernandes going to Rangers in what was a shock transfer move for 3.5 million. We've had Malik Mothersill going to Stockport. Earlier in the week, Alex Bass joined from Notts County, which we're all pretty excited about. Sam Hughes was made captain, and we've had three internal departures at the club. All those things are discussed tonight, as well as Max's terrible trim. On this episode, I was joined by Max, Del, and Ashley, and I'm John. So sit back, relax, because there's a lot to talk about tonight. Max, Peterborough United have just received £3.5 million reportedly for Manny Fernandes from Rangers. Tell me what you think of that, and what can Rangers fans expect from their new big signing?
Yeah, well, firstly, this—if the money that's being reported is substantial, it's a great deal for Peterborough. Manny Fernandes definitely fell out of favour. It was Hughes and Wallen was the centre back pairing that we saw for the back half of the season, and that was a centre back duo that seems to be working. What Rangers fans can expect from Manny Fernandes is that the player does have a calamity in him, like he does have a proper clanger. But when he's playing well, he's playing well, and we saw glimpses of performances that could show that he could play a lot higher than League One. And I go back to it all the time whenever I speak about Manny Fernandes, but that game at Wembley playing against Birmingham City, who have broke every record under the sun in League One this season, or last season now. They broke every record under the sun, and he put in an absolute monstrous performance. He was amazing that day. Tackles were on point. Ball playing was on point. His composure is excellent. And his composure is excellent throughout the whole of his game. Can lead to the mistakes is what I would say in that element of the park, of the composure element. He doesn't react quick enough to danger. That's the problem with Manny Fernandes. And that can put him in big spots of bother when he's got a striker on his right shoulder and he's trying to play it to his centre-half. And inevitably, the striker sometimes will get the ball, will get an opportunity, will force a mistake. That's something that can be coached, though. Like, again, you've got a massive physical presence. He's about 6'5", 6'6". He's very good in the air. He brings down headers. He's exactly what you'd want in the centre-half. Just that ability is a bit raw. And I presume that can be coached. For us, as Peterborough fans, the reaction from me is, This is a great deal. I don't think Manny Fernandes was going to be our starting centre half. So to get him for the package that's been rumoured, it's fantastic. It's going to allow us to continue to be active in the transfer market, sign new players, bring in a replacement for Manny Fernandes, and overall, I think this is a great deal for both sides.
I simply cannot believe how much we have pulled the pants down of Glasgow Rangers Football Club. Look, Max is signalling to Barry Fry. This is an absolute masterclass from Barry Fry and Darren McAntony to have allegedly got this much money for a third choice centre back at Peterborough United, who finished 17th in League One last season. I know that Max has just run through all of the assets and things that he has, but I just can't see what other people see that he's going to go and play in the Scottish Prem, regardless of what level you think that the Scottish Prem is at compared to the Prem, the Championship or League One. This is just an absolutely outstanding deal for Peterborough United. And I'm going to ultimately say probably going to end up being a shocking one for Rangers, at least for the next 2 years. Because unless Manny has somehow managed to wake himself up after the last 6 weeks, he is simply not a player that is switched on enough for me to justify playing week in, week out for such a massive football club. I think that we've got the best deal. I think that this is, like I said, an absolute piece of business that we have done and is ultimately going to set us up now for at least the next season, if not going forwards as well.
I don't even know where to start, if I'm honest. First of all, it's a deal. It's a steal. It's a sign of the fucking century, as a line that comes from some popular film. Also, there's another thing. Is it Taggart? Do you remember Taggart, the detective? There used to be, there's been a murder. But I think they need to change that. There's been a robbery because we have robbed you, Rangers, without a shadow of a doubt. 3.5 million for somebody that can't... Well, anyway, don't be disrespectful for money because he did have a good game at Wembley. In fact, he had an outstanding game at Wembley, which is superb. Honestly, this selling money to Rangers for 3.5 million is, if I got my right facts right, is a better deal than when we robbed the other Rangers. Did they call them the Rangers? QPR when we sold Connor Washington to him. So what did we get for him then? Was it 2.5 million? I can't remember, but 3.5 million, if that is true, plus add-ons for Manny Fernandez, well, Barry Fryer, if you're the man and you know, you're close to retirement, I think you've just like got an extra year on your pension there, mate, because that ain't a bad deal, is it? Let's face it, Rangers, Premiership Scottish, probably the equivalent of League One, if I'm honest, in England. So is it really that big a move? I'm not too sure. I think he's going to come unstuck, if I'm honest. I'm joking apart, you know. I might push him to Championship a push. But Manny is going to come unstuck, mate. You know, he'll do all right in the Farmers League in Scotland. But are Rangers in Europe, or have I got that wrong? They are that Manny in Europe. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, well, let's see what happens there. Obviously,
Manny on the map.
You are, mate.
Manny on the map.
Can you imagine that? Wow. But no, let's be honest. Manny is a League One defender at a push. He's had some good games. And I've said many times, had some inconsistent games. But Rangers, wow. Wow, wow, wow. And then... good luck to you. I think it's a good move for both people. It's a great move for Manny, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think it's also a good move for Peterborough for getting him off of our books so we can concentrate with players that, you know, potentially are going to be good for Peterborough United. So 3.5 million. Wow. Wow, wow.
Yeah, Max ended his speech and said it's a great deal for both clubs. This is simply not a great deal for both clubs. This is a great deal for one club, and that is Posh, because it may just have saved our season. I think there's a chance that I would have accepted 500,000 for Manny Fernandez. I can kind of understand where the interest... I was surprised when Norwich came in for him in January, let's face it. I can kind of understand why clubs in higher divisions... quite like Manny, because you look at him and he has all those tangible benefits that you want from a centre-back. He's 6'6". He's physically imposing. But if you dig down into the stats, the guy was worse in the air than Sam Hughes, who played next to him. He was pretty much bang average in League One for Ariel's Jules One last season. 61%, I think it was, or 66%. It's not an outstanding number. And then I look at his age, and he turns 24 in about 4 or 5 months' time. He's not a young whippersnapper. He's not Ronnie Edwards. He's, you know, he's in his mid-20s at the end of this year. If we've got 3.5 million for him, that tops Connor Washington as the greatest transfer in Peterborough history. I cannot fathom why Rangers would pay that fee. What is possessing Russell Martin to do that? The thing with Russell Martin is you watch his teams as well, and they're so possession dominant. Manny struggles in our system on the ball. He can stride out of defence quite well. Max, you talk about his composure. And yeah, he can look quite composed on the ball, but often he's too relaxed and too lethargic on the ball. And actually, I don't think he's magnificent technically. I certainly don't think he's technically good enough to play in a Russell Martin team where... a lot of the build-up play goes through the centre-back. So I'm really confused at the transfer and what Rangers have thought. But the fact we are getting £3.5 million for him, if that's true, and it's come from a journalist with a high level of credibility, I would say, so we can take it as there's got to be some what's the saying? No smoke without fire. There has to be some smoke with this fire. I was kind of at my wit's end when Motherfield left, and this has just perked me right up. So thanks, Rangers. What a deal. What a bit of news. And we just have to go and reinvest this now. This could buy us, what, 3-4 players? And if we can do that and spend $1 million on each, let's say, we could be looking in a very different position than where we were before this transfer was completed. So, yeah, great news for Posh, I think.
You say no smoke without fire there, John. I actually think Russell Martin has been smoking something, but there we go. Good luck to him.
Okay, moving on to, well, I think less good news. We may have a diversity of opinions on this one. Malik Mothersill left the club today to join, in a rather surprising transfer, Stockport County. Ash, I'm going to throw to you. How do you feel about this transfer?
Do you know what? It's an interesting one, isn't it? I want to be disappointed because I wanted Malik to be a key player for us going forwards. But equally, if it's clear that if he's not going to sign a new contract, we simply cannot find ourselves in a position going forwards ever again where we are letting players leave for free that are assets to the football club. So, yes, it's to a League One rival. Yes, it's a strange move. It's a sideways move, I'd almost argue. Maybe not so much on last year, but ultimately everybody's going to start come August 1st with 0 points in League One, aren't they? And it's a fresh start for everyone. Is there an element of maybe Teo Dunn getting in Mothersfield's ear and saying, yeah, come here, this is the project that these guys are having. They'll pay you double what you're earning at Peterborough every chance. But like I said, disappointing, yes. I hope that Malik Mothersfield goes on to have a great career. It's a shame that we won't see that at Posh because, like we've said many a time last season, he has flashes of brilliance, but then he's missing many a time in a game. So it's an interesting one, but I think it's the right decision for Peterborough. Equally, and we discussed this during the day today, didn't we, is that Malik Mothersfield is not the player that's going to take us from 18th to 12th or 12th to 6th or 6th to 2nd in the league. So where we were earlier before the Manny Fernandez transfer and all of this alleged cash is, as long as the squad that we have is still in League One come the 26-27 season, then losing Malik Mothersfield is for 800k, let's say, or 900k, is a great piece of business. I don't have an issue with that. Hindsight will become a wonderful thing. If we get relegated, losing Malik Mothersfield will be a disastrous thing, unless we can find a replacement. But who knows where we're going to be and who knows what Malik Mothersfield's replacement will look like going forwards.
I just want to follow on there, Ash. You've just mentioned Malik Mothersfield is, you know, we have to replace him. This system under Darren Ferguson does not operate without a number 10. The number 10 is probably, from an attacking fluency point, is probably one of, if not the most important position on the pitch for that aspect of the game. You look at, you know, I'm going to get eye rolls all over here, but if you look at Joel Randall, for example, very systematic, and not a great player, but was moulded into a system player, right? And we were, I think personally, it's a personal opinion, our attack was much more fluent because he was able to get the ball moving up the pitch. And I don't think we've necessarily replaced that system player. Not saying that obviously Randall was the greatest player ever, but what I'm saying is that system player that we're looking for, that Randall did to a decent degree, I don't think we found that replacement for him. And Malik was a bit more sporadic. Last season, obviously, was very turbulent. We've tried to put Malik in different positions. He's played left wing, he's played strike, he's played right wing, he's played through the middle. You know, it feels like he's played all over the park, right? What we need to do now is go and sign a competent, good number 10, young, up and coming, and just hit the ground running with that. Because if we can sign a number 10, a really strong number 10, and we can go in, even if, you know, that could help Gustav's game. We talked about like Gustav not necessarily being ready. If we've got a number 10 that can that can basically put the ball in front of Gustav. Surely we haven't spent that much money on him for somebody who cannot put a chance that's been put on a plate away. Is sort of my thought process. Reiterating that with, I haven't seen any glimpse that Gustav can finish a goal, put it right in front of him. I am just going on blind hope and optimism with that. But the number 10 is such an important position for us to sign now. We need to go and do that. Malik, and one last thing on Malik. Selling to a League One club, I think this would be a very different sort of conversation if Manny hadn't gone for the fee that he's just gone for. When the news broke, I was fuming that we'd sold Malik to a League One rival, A, and B, if our aim is to be pushing at the top of the table again, Stockport are going to be up there. We've sold Malik to somebody who is arguably going to be competing where we want to be competing this season. That, to me, is such a backwards move from the club, and I don't necessarily understand that strategy. If the reports that Charlton and QPR were in for him, maybe not for that much money, but do we want to sell Malik purely for money, or do we want to sell basically our best player, in my opinion, that we had, bar Kwame Poku, to somebody that we want to be competing with? I think that was very backwards. However, it's money in the back pocket. We can start this rebuild, this restructure, this revamp of the team, and hopefully we can get that ball rolling. But I'm really impressed since Keller and Hughes had signed. I feel like it's been a predominantly good news since then. Mothersfield was a bit of a blow, but I think this transfer window is going really well, especially with this money news.
Yeah, I don't really see where we're getting really well from, Max, if I'm being honest. I'm still quite pissed off about the whole Mothersfield situation, I guess. And not by the fact we've sold him. I totally understand the need to sell him. But maybe it's a me problem, but I look at it and I struggle to see how we wanted to keep Mothersfield, right? And we wanted to keep Teo Edden. And both of them chose to go to Stockport over us. Now, you tell somebody that 18 months ago that two of Peterborough United's leading players or people that they were wanting to put in their team for next season would leave them and join Stockport County. And I don't mean this disparagingly about Stockport, but for me, that's tough to take. And maybe I need to realign my aims. But the club have talked about, oh, well, Charlton finished 17th and made the playoffs. There's clearly that playoff goal is still there. They haven't realigned their aims. And yet we can't keep players away from Stockport. Now, if they've gone to Luton or Cardiff, you kind of go, well, they're powerhouses in League One. I can understand why they go there. If we are losing players that we want to keep while signing Stockport's reserves, let's not forget Sam Hughes was a Stockport reserve. They didn't want him. How can we pertain to be a top six chasing League One club? We just aren't. We can't compete with Stockport County at this point. We have fallen so far, and maybe that's me needing to realign my goals with Posh and my view of Posh, because I started supporting Posh pretty much at the first season Dara came in. So I watched us in League Two for two seasons, and ever since then we've pretty much been a guarantee to be near the top of League One. I know there was a few seasons where we weren't, but generally that was our aim. Now, if we are realigning to be a bottom half League One club, then I can accept this. But if you're giving the line that we're chasing the playoffs, you simply cannot lose two players to Stockport County and sign one of their reserves. I'm sorry, you just can't. And that's why it annoyed me. People will disagree. People have said to me on Twitter all day, you know, you're so pessimistic, etc. But I've watched us replace Max, you called it a really good window, but I've watched us replace Kwame Poku with a guy that hasn't scored a goal since November in the Swiss Championship. I've watched us replace Hector Kyprianou with a guy that's played less than 30 EFL games. I've watched us sign Sam Hughes, who's pretty much bang average. I think we'd all agree with that. He's better than what we've got, but is he a great League One player? No, he's not. So I think we've made one really good signing, which we'll talk about later in Alex Bass. But yeah, I don't think it's been a really good signing. I'm still struggling to come to terms with not come to terms, but that's a bit dramatic. But I'm still struggling to accept the mother seal to stop Port News. I do think that is a blow, and I can't frame it in any other way.
Yeah, so I think that what the important thing here, though, is not to sort of forget is that this is very much a new era of Peterborough United. And I think that it is important that we leave the Mother Seals, the Eddins, those types of people that have very clearly expressed that they don't want to be at the football club in the past. We now have players that are signing, even at 28, three-year deals. Alex Bass, four-year deal. Brandon Keller, five-year deal, right? This is a very clear plan. And there were arguments that the club wasn't protected and we were losing the assets. I think that's been flipped very quickly, even in the last sort of 2 weeks, in that we now have the assets and they are ours. Like, there's nobody coming in two seasons' time and going, oh, yeah, you've taken Brandon Keller on a two-year deal. If he doesn't want to sign an extra year, we're going to have him for free. And I think that that's the important thing to acknowledge, is that, yes, maybe the standard is not quite there, but these are our players and these are our players to develop. And I've said before on previous episodes when we've recorded is that probably the worst thing to happen was the playoff season against Oxford, because that was meant to be a rebuild season and it wasn't. And we were successful and everybody's hopes got so high that, yeah, we're just going to keep challenging. We're going to keep challenging. We've changed the way that we play football. Fergie's changed the way that we've played it. And actually, last season was just a monumental crash out of a season. But I don't think that we can sort of forget that actually one bad summer of transfers doesn't mean that the Peterborough United policy has just totally gone to bust. I actually think, if anything, that where we're at now is closer to when we were signing the likes of Dean Keats and Craig Morgan and Russell Martin and all of those sorts of people. And the people that we're getting in and around them means that actually, yes, this season may be tough, dependent on who's left to come in. But actually, this is the rebuild season now. This is like season zero again of Darren McAntony era 2.0. Let's reset. Let's not set the expectations too high of top two, top six. And then next season, 26-27, let's push on from there and let's just see where it goes and enjoy it, knowing that we're not going to lose players after 2 years.
I think you raised some good points, Ash. I will just come back. I think for me, the reason a lot of these players want to stay here is frankly because they can't do any better. Why would Ryan de Havilland want to leave Peterborough? Because he's going downhill. Why would Abraham Oddo want to leave Peterborough? Because he's going down. George Nevitt, et cetera, et cetera. They want to stay at the club because it's the best they can do, surely.
Yeah, but is this not about the players that are still wanting to come to us? Players like Alex Bass, second best goalkeeper in League Two last season. Brandon Keller, yes, he's only played 30 games, but he knows that he's not going to get the game time at Birmingham. So he's taking a step down to develop himself. Like we said when we signed Kyprianou, the Orient fans were laughing at us that they paid 300k, that we paid 300k for him. Brandon Keller's clearly already an echelon above where Kyprianou is, in my opinion, having played so many less games. Yes, there's the risk of Frith. Yes, there's the risk of Lisby. But 2 seasons ago, if these were the players that we'd signed, these would all be people that we were excited by. So I just don't think that we should now throw away. One bad summer should not ruin the policy that we've had.
Right. I totally agree with you, Ash. And this is exactly the point I was going to make. My issue isn't particularly with the signings that we've made. My concern is actually with the fact that these players are coming in almost immediately to be starters. So if Keller was coming in as a third choice centre mid, I think you go, brilliant. If Frith's coming in, you go, oh yeah, we've got a punt. But actually they're coming in for players that, you know, are very good League One players. Kwame Poku and Hector Kyprianou are two outstanding League One players. And we simply don't have that level of cover that we've always had before. So you're almost going, well, you need to step up instantly. And that's where my concern comes from, because it's either them stepping up, or it's Kean Hayes stepping up, or it's Ryan de Havilland stepping up, or it's Donny O'Brien Brady stepping up. And I've just not seen it. And I do think you give me that look, but you've replaced Poku and Kyprianou directly with two players that have played less than 30 EFL games between them.
I just think that the point is that these players only got us to 17th. Yes, they're fantastic footballers, but they were performing at 30% of the level that they needed to. Those players, you've said it yourself, the striker that we signed to replace Malik Mothersill will not be as good as 50%. Now, that means that I said to you earlier, they only need to score 6 goals to match what Malik Mothersill got in the league. If a striker that we signed can't score 6 goals, then that is poor recruitment. I'm confident that the Malik Mothersill's replacement, whether that's a 9 or a 10, scores 6 goals for Peterborough United, scores 7 goals, scores 10 goals. And equally, you then have to trust that, yes, last season was rotten for George Nevitt, Chris Conn-Clark, Oddo. Hayes was good, but not fantastic in parts at the same time. I just think that you have to let those players play out. And actually, if we finish 17th again, that can be seen as a successful season, having lost now, what, 5 of our best players, probably our 5 best players. If we finish 17th, I think that that's just something that we have to accept, knowing that 26, 27, we push on again and we go for 7th, 8th, 9th, and that's what we see.
Look, 17th, if you offer me 17th, I'll snap your arm off. If you offer me 20th place right now, I'd snap your arm off. You made the point there. We finished 17th with Poku, Kyprianou, Ricky J. Jones, Mothersill in our squad. We haven't replaced any of these with a better player. We have not. Like, no matter what you say, there is no way that any of these players that we've signed are better than them. We are worse in quality than the squad that finished 17th. And as it stands, we've now got £4.5 million today. So this may change, and my opinion may change. But as it stands, we have weakened a squad that finished 17th. So where are we going to end up?
I'm going to come back in here because I've been sitting here listening to you guys, giving your views and everything. And I've been patient, you know, because that's unlike me, but I've been patient. I'm just going to bring it back to Malik Mothersill, first of all. Malik Mothersill, disappointing side for me is the fact it is one of the players that I can actually pronounce. But Stockport. I don't think any of us, all of us knew that he was going to go, and we all expected him to go to Charlton, QPR, whoever, in the Championship. But Stockport. So like a Stockport who was like 2-3 years ago in non-league. And now we're losing players to Stockport, Stockport County. But do you know what? Do you know what? Why he's gone there and why we've sold him? Money talks. It's the only reason. Money talks. You know, obviously Stockport now have, you know, got some proper rich owners and they're investing. You know, they've obviously paid a decent offer to us for us to accept it. They've obviously offered Malik a decent offer for him to want to go to another club in League One rather than step up to the Championship. And, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. That's fine. No problem whatsoever. My view is, if you want to leave the club, see you. Thank you. Goodbye. But we need to accept, and being an old man of the group, and I've waffled on before and I've said it before, we need to understand where we are. You know, we're not that powerhouse in League One that we've always historically been. Well, not always, historically been for the last 10, 15 years, apart from the odd year in the Championship. You know, we are Peterborough United, okay? And we are where we are for a reason. What we need to do for the next year or two is maintain our position in League One whilst, balancing the books financially. You know, nothing we're hiding. Darragh's on about, obviously. We've still got a bit of debt. We need to try and cut that down. And we need to sort of like reevaluate what Peterborough United is, okay? We've been the fans, the young, as you said, John, and especially young Max, you've only ever seen success apart from last season. You know, let's be honest, you can't class a relegation from a Championship as a failure, because for little Peterborough, getting in the Championship is impressive. So we are where we are, okay? We need to like get behind whoever's playing for the squad. You say we've lost our best 5 players. You know, factually, we probably have. But that doesn't sort of mean to say they're really good players, because we've had a really average squad for the last year or two. You know, I know we sort of, Ash alluded to a minute ago, we'd done really well in that year when we got to Oxford in the final of the playoffs. We all knew that that was a fluke season. Outstanding season, that was, to be fair. It was a fluke. Potentially, that squad of players, would they have done it again the following season? I don't think they would have. necessarily, but we are where we are. We've lost some players, and when we do lose players, we never replace them with better players as such. We always replace them with players that potentially are better. So let's see where, you know, the is it Frith or Firth? Whatever, you know, fucking hell. So even that, a 5-6-letter word, and I still can't get it right.
It's not Colin Firth. It's okay.
It's not Frith. The actor. Frith.
Yeah, okay. Frith.
Frith, like froth. So, you know, he's meant to be half decent. Let's see how he gets on. Bass, obviously, he's come with, like, you know, lots of plaudits. So it would be nice to have an established goalkeeper in goal. You know, and as Darius said, it's the first time we spent money on a goalkeeper for God knows how long. And that's no disrespect to Bilo, to Blackmore, to whoever we've had in the past. It is disrespect, I suppose, but we've got a goalkeeper that's got a decent pedigree. You know, let's see where we go from there. I can't wait for the season to start. I generally can't. Yeah, anybody knows me, I rule my life around football. You know, I plan this, I plan that to go football. I can't wait. You know, and if we finish 20th, so be it. You know, but as long as I can see some progress with the players that are coming in, improving, you know, some of the players last season, because again, Darryl keeps saying, let's look at the second season syndrome, because they normally get better in the second year. Well, a lot of these players from last year, they need to be a lot better this year, because let's be honest, most of them are proper shit last year. But let's not get too downbeat. Let's not start sort of getting upset. It is what it is. This season, I think, like last season, but more this season, we need to, okay, let's get behind the team. Let's support. And let's not continue to think that we're better than what we are, right? Let's grow back up, because I'm confident that once we get back into the swing of things, after a couple of dodgy years last year, I don't think this year is going to be fantastic. I think this year will be better than last year, but it won't be as good as what we've had for the last few years. I'm looking forward to the future, you know? Big things happening, not only at Peterborough United, but up the Poshcast, obviously.
Del, speaking of big things, you mentioned it briefly there. In the week, Peterborough United, and it feels a long time ago now, given today, signed Alex Bass from Notts County. One which I've been a little bit negative tonight. I am buzzing about this signing, but I want to hear from you first, Max. So talk me through it, because I know you are also buzzing about this.
When this got announced, I think I had like a... felt like my heart was stopping and starting. I needed to lie down. I was absolutely over the moon when this got announced. And it was one of the players that I said in the transfer targets video podcast that we did was that Alex Bass would be a different model to what we like to sign, which is young and hungry. He's still quite young for a goalkeeper, but usually, you know, we want to go down the route of really young players that we can develop up the ranks. Alex Bass has got heaps of experience. He's very composed. He's quite good with the ball at his feet as well. And obviously, John, you said earlier that talking about our squad, we have downgraded in quality. I agree. I think this is the position we have upgraded in quality in terms of starting position. I think he's better than both Bilakapic, Steer, and Blackmore. So this is a fantastic signing all round. Watching him this season, because it is one of the very few. I know people say when we make signings, you've not watched them, so how can you say? This is one of the signings that I have watched this season, and predominantly so, being at uni in Derby, getting opportunities to go to Notts County and things like that, and going there just for games when I want to go. It is such a good signing, and he had a really good run in the playoffs as well, in terms of shot stopping. I mean, Wimbledon could have scored a lot more, right? And he was that last wall of defence. And sometimes this season, we've just been, you know, desperate for our goalkeeper to just give us a break, right? To just be that last line of defence. And I really think Alex Bass is going to be that for us. So for me, I have not a single complaint, only positivity about Alex Bass. And I really hope I'm not made to eat my words. And he turns out to be rubbish. But I really cannot see that eventuality happening.
No, I do think you're right, Max. And Alex Bass seems like at 27, 28-ish, it seems like he's going to bridge that gap where Jed Steer couldn't, in that Jed Steer felt probably, I would imagine, like a dad of the group. But with Bass being 27, he's 4 years closer in age to them. He's a similar age to Sam Hughes as well. So that we've had that announced in that they're going to be captains and leaders today, him and Johnston. I would imagine that Alex Bass is probably one of those as well. And we discussed before is that Bielo is a great shot stopper. Jed Steer is great with his feet. I feel like Alex Bass is going to be that middle man in that he's not going to be amazing. And I don't want to downplay him because some of the shots that we've seen him save in the footage that we've put out has been fantastic, is that he's going to be 80% at both, which is fantastic for Posh because that's what we need. We don't want the mistakes of Bielo. We don't want the goals being let in like Jed Steer. And if we've got somebody that is, 6'3", 6'4" in goal, he's ultimately going to make good saves. And as long as he's calm under pressure with the ball at his feet, he's going to be a fantastic asset for us for 3 or 4 years.
I just want to echo what happened to Lloyd Christmas there in the group chat. Lloyd Christmas, maybe go and Google who that is and look at Max. But in the group chat, Max was Max. Seriously, he was so excited. It was like Christmas for Max, so much so I actually thought he was going to get in contact with the recruitment team to see if they'd give him a job because he mentioned Bass as a signing. So kind of doff me out to you there, young man. Well done, but as I say, go and look up Lloyd Christmas and have a look at Max.
Yeah, I would like to say I'm absolutely buzzing with this one. I said it earlier, but this is the exact sort of signing which I think we should be making, right? This is a signing that's a clear upgrade on what we've got. It's EFL experienced. A real sign of intent. I love the fact that we've paid money on a goalkeeper. It's been a problem position for years, and I think we've solved it, and we've solved it hopefully long term. Just as a stat which I want to throw out there, Alex Bass's save percentage last season, 74%. Now compare that to Jed Steers, which was 62%. Nicholas Bilakapic was 61%. That is a big differential between there. And I know you're probably going to face harder shots in League One, so maybe it will slightly drop, but I would be surprised if it drops that much. I also look at the high claims number, and Alex Bass was in the 70s, which is over double what Jed Steer got. And surprisingly, Bilakapic only claimed 10 high claims. So he's clearly more commanding of his box than Bilakapic. He's basically a massive upgrade on the pair of them in every facet of the game, really. And that is going to be crucial to us because I think he's going to be a busy man. So I'm really, really pleased with it. I think this is, like I say, the exact sort of signing that Posh should be making and a clear step forward. So well done on that signing. Buzzing with it. We talk about signings, but there has been a few departures this week too. Who have we seen go? We've seen Paul Gerrard go. We've seen Bobby Copping go. And we have also seen Clive Edwards go. Ashley's best friend at the club, Clive Edwards. Ash, it seems right and fitting that you comment first on this bit of news.
Yeah, look, there ultimately isn't much to comment on, is there? Clive has put his tweet out. I am disappointed that Clive hasn't seen out the rebrand, and that is something that we have been informed by the club will still be going ahead on the 31st of July. We have that as an official line. There will be no change to that timeline. It was something that he was very passionate about. It was something that he managed to ultimately convince myself and people like Dell that it was the right decision to move forwards. And I think that we all agree that it is the right thing to do. And that hopefully you guys that haven't seen the new badge and identities that go with will completely agree when that is released on the 31st of July. For me, it's ultimately just disappointing that this pride and passion that he's had, he's not managed to see over the line for whichever reason that is. As for Bobby Copping, don't think that this one is as much of a surprise because I think it's Nathan Cazzetto has replaced him in his role, and they've sort of been doing a handover for sort of 3 months. And then Paul Gerrard probably is the strangest one. I know that Chaz was probably doing laps around his living room until he realised that it was a family issue that Paul Gerrard was happening. I think it's just going to be interesting to see who comes in to replace Paul Gerrard, because have we ever had a solid goalkeeper coach? We had Mark Tyler. He was never a fantastic coach, I don't think. We had Ali from the academy step up because we wanted Blackmore to be our number one. Paul Gerrard's come in, and ultimately our goalkeepers weren't very good last season. So we talk about on-field signings being massively important to us going forwards. But equally, I think that going back to Dale Tong leaving, getting Rooster in, that's a massive signing. So whoever it is that replaces Paul Gerrard, I think that that has the chance to be a massive signing for the football club as well.
Just, you know, there has been some coming and goings. And just like Max said in the group chat, how excited he was to get in Bassin. I'm actually going to put a call out there, a replacement goalkeeper coach, Ian Bennett. You know, I can see Ian Bennett, but, you know, he's had some big jobs, you know, some jobs bigger than any of us expected, if I'm honest. So potentially Ian Bennett as the next goalkeeper coach. I don't know anything. This is speculation, but I'd happily take him back. But yeah, a few comings and goings.
Well, one last bit of news this week in what has been a busy news week is the captain and vice captain and for the season have been announced. Captain is Sam Hughes. Vice captain is Carl Johnston, I should say. Ashley, do you want to go first? I was doing my best impression of Dale there, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's Johnson. It might be Johnson. I don't care, do I? I don't know.
But yeah, look, the one thing with Carl Johnston being the vice captain for me is I would rather Dornelli play. And do you want your vice captain sat on the bench? There's rumours that he's a fantastic busybody around the club, which is fantastic. That's what you need, is that he seems like a lovely lad. It's just, yeah, footballing-wise, I would rather see James Dornelli, and I hope that CJ being the vice-captain doesn't impact James Dornelli's progression at the club, because we know that he's got a massive career, but ultimately, I think that's the right decision. We knew when Sam Hughes signed, right, that he was going to be the captain. That was an absolute no-brainer, and it was probably something that was put into his contract, is that during his time at the club, he is the club captain. He took the armband when the likes of Archie Collins were still on the pitch last season. It was rare that I don't want to go back to Bristol Rovers again, but the absolute rage when Kyprianou came on at halftime and took the armband off of Sam Hughes, that wound me up no end, just because I just didn't think that Kyprianou was the leader that we needed. And Sam Hughes probably is the leader. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said. I imagine we think back to after Lincoln, it was. I'm pretty sure on good confidence that he had the truth with the players that was needed. So hopefully, footballing-wise, look, Sam Hughes provides, I've said before, provides what you know, and he's going to give you what you expect. But I hope that he can be the leader to really drag this young group of players up and help them excel and develop further.
Let's be honest, as soon as Sam Hughes was announced that we've signed him, I think on the pod, my first words were, that's our captain sorted out. And you know what? Rightly so. We've got the experience in. Let's use their experience. So I'm happy with Sam Hughes being captain. No issues whatsoever. Cole, obviously being vice captain. I have no issues with that at all. But like what you says, Ash, I would like to see Dornelli start and develop. And there's no disrespect to Cole Johnson, whatever. But I would like to see Dornelli on the right, so I could actually give him some sevens, eights, and nines rather than just ones and twos. Because I can see him having a good season this season. With the Collins, a lot of speculation. Oh, is he not a vice captain or captain? Does that mean he's going? I don't think you can really read into that. And what you said is that there's certain people that make good captains, and there's certain people that don't. And let's be honest, with Archie Collins, he wasn't that sort of vocal person, if that makes sense. He let his football do the talking. Whereas I can see someone like Sam Hughes will be fucking kicking ass, making sure that players are doing what they're meant to be doing, you know? And you didn't really see that with Collins, if I'm honest. And I actually think it might be a weight off of his shoulders that, you know, I don't have the responsibility. I can just go out and do what I'd done well two seasons ago and in pockets last season. So, you know, some great moves. So, yeah, let's get behind it, as I keep saying, see what happens. But I think they're two good choices, if I'm honest. So, and no issues with them whatsoever.
But that's a wrap of the posh news. But don't stop listening just yet, because Up the Poshcast have got a little bit of an update. The website is now fully up and running. If you haven't been on upthepodcast.com, easier to type than say, it's really good. There's some really good articles on there. You'll learn a bit. Max has done one today on potential mother seal replacements. There's loads of stuff on there. There's also a raffle. You can buy your pin badges, which I should have worn and I completely forgot to wear for this episode. But the pin badges are now being dispatched and they're really, really good quality. I promise I'm not just saying that to try and be a salesman. If you have listened and enjoyed tonight, please do subscribe. If you can't, you know, buy a pin badge or support the pod financially or anything like that, that's absolutely fine. But we really would appreciate if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or leave us a comment or a like. It really does mean a lot when you guys engage like that. The comments can be on your thoughts on the transfers, whether you agree with me about the summer so far, whether you agree with Ashley about the summer so far. We'd love to hear from you. Look, we're always keen to hear opinions. Ash wants to say something.
I would love everybody to rate Max's trim out of 10 as well.
That is gonna look. Remember when Dale talked about CJ's ones and twos ratings? I think we're gonna see a few of them coming up, don't you all? Get on YouTube and have a look at Max's new trim. If you are listening to this, I promise you it's worth it. Anyway, before we start rambling too much more, I think that is the end of tonight's episode. We will be back in our usual slot on Monday. I suspect we might have a sign-in or two to talk about in that episode. No promises, though. So, up the Barry Frycast and up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Anyway, you know what, right? Lloyd Christmas. So all of you listening on Spotify or Apple, you are going to have to get yourselves over to YouTube and see what we're talking about. Up the Lloyd Christmas.